It's good to have you here with me today. We're coast to coast across this great land on the broadcast and around God's expansive world on the podcast. It's a great joy for me to speak with you. Thanks for tuning in. Yesterday, we began the week together right here in Revelation 1, verse 7, with the eighth of 10 facts that are true about who Jesus Christ is. This is fact number 8, Jesus is coming with the clouds. And we will get to facts 9 and 10 soon enough, but we're going to camp out here in the reality that Christ is coming again for a few days. And last time I set the context for reading about his second coming in light of the circumstances of our lives. We learned that the second coming of Christ makes what is now unbearable to us bearable, and we saw that God repeatedly emphasizes this second coming, Jesus with the clouds descending to the earth in the whole of the Bible. Over 500 verses in both the Old and New Testaments address this, and one of every 25 New Testament verses speak of him coming again. And we say, praise the Lord. Amen. We look forward to you coming, O Christ. We want to live in the light of your coming. Help us bear our burdens until that fine, glorious, and sweet day. As Christians, this is how we feel about his coming. Now, let's walk a little further around our campground of Revelation 1:7. Take the phrase, he is coming. It's imperative that we know Jesus himself predicted this is exactly what he will do. And where are such prognostications made? Well, all throughout the Gospels at the start of the New Testament, particularly in Matthew and in Luke. For example, there is an expansive discourse given by Jesus in Matthew chapters 24 through 25 that deals with his return. I commend this to you. Read it. These two chapters are ripe with Jesus' own words concerning what he will do in the future. That's Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. So let's go on a couple of short walks away from our campgrounds in Revelation chapter 1 and see what we can find as we explore the Gospels. If you have your Bible and you aren't distracted by, say, driving, then turn to Matthew chapter 16 and take a look with me at verse 27. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in glory of his Father and with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Jesus guarantees his own return and speaks here of the judgment that he will bring upon people for their deeds. That is, for how people who are not Christ followers behave. And tomorrow we will find the element of judgment at the center of the Lord's return. But note this for now. According to Jesus, there will be a divine repayment for what is now done. In other words, every person outside of relationship with Christ can expect to be repaid by God for his or her sin. There is no getting away with it with God. This is not a popular message, but it is a truthful message. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And the reality of this wrath results in judgment for anyone who does not have sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the person who does not obey the Son. That's John 3:36. We like John 3:16, but we regularly skip over John 3:36. But we must not. So Matthew 16:27, Jesus is going to come in glory. Hold that in your memory and come with me into Matthew chapters 24 and 25. Hopefully you will read both chapters on your own, but allow me to highlight for you three verses in which Jesus says he is coming again in the future. The first is in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." And then still within chapter 24 and now verse 44, "For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." And then continue along with me in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Again, Jesus warns his followers that he's coming again, and They need to be. We need to be prepared and ready. Be on the alert. Do not fall asleep on the Lord now. The world also needs to be ready, but sadly, they either do not realize it, or they have heard about awareness and have chosen to ignore the warnings. Big mistake. Rejecting Christ is literally the biggest mistake of any person's life. That mistake will be eternally regretted. Now let's continue along in Matthew's Gospel, down into chapter 26. And when you get to Matthew 26, put a finger at verse 64. This is a lengthy chapter, and here Jesus is before the high priest. And when the high priest asks Jesus if he is the Son of God, Jesus is originally silent, but then says, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Did you catch that? The Son of Man is Jesus. And Jesus says of himself to Caiaphas, the high priest, "I am coming on the clouds of heaven." Does that sound remarkably similar to our text? Revelation 1 verse 7, Jesus is coming with the clouds. Why, yes, it does, because he is. Jesus tells us this himself. Again, he keeps on repeating himself. And there are some Matthew references for you to highlight in your copy of God's Word. And I really want to encourage you to look these up for yourself and read them in the broader context of what Matthew has written for us. My time here is limited, but I can never emphasize enough how you can use your time wisely to see what Jesus says with your own two eyes. Believers most certainly must be faithful readers of the Word. And should you be with us today and not yet a believer in God, why don't you also get a hold of a Bible and read it? Of course, let the technology help you. Here's a great website for Bible reading called Bible Gateway. In your web browser, type in BibleGateway.com. That's BibleGateway.com. Punch in the biblical reference and read. Furthermore, since I'm using a lot of scripture today, I'll put all these references on the God Is Facebook page. Do you have Facebook? If so, search for God Is, W-E-Z-E. That's God Is, W-E-Z-E, and follow God Is. You'll find each one of these texts listed there today. And now let's pivot away from Matthew and go over to visit with Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, and beginning at verse 34. Here again, Jesus predicts his own return with a warning. "Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape these things that are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." As always, Jesus puts this pithily and powerfully. He says, that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. What a vivid image. Some time ago, we were having a little trouble with mice in our garage and basement. So I set some traps, and some of these were of the snap variety. That is, the millisecond a mouse tapped that little board, the spring let go and whoop. Whatever body part was there was crushed. And that little mouse was no more. And because that got a little gruesome when I checked the traps, I've switched to the sticky gel variety. That way, the body remains intact. But the suddenness of that snapping trap is what came to mind as I read these words of Jesus. The day of his return is coming, and people should not be trapped by it. Instead, they should be prepared for it. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, will suddenly be standing on the earth, and all people will be subject to his reign and rule before him in person. Jesus prophesies this in Luke 21. Furthermore, notice how the Lord talks here about what keeps us from being on our guard. I count three. Your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. There is dissipation, which is a drunken nausea. And then there is flat-out drunkenness. That certainly keeps people from being ready. And then the worries of life. How common these are. All over this country and around the world, people are consumed with substances, turning to them to find relief from the worries of this life. Anxiety, fear, jealousy, comparing yourself to others, worry that you are not doing enough to get ahead, to make more money, to be ready for retirement. All that goes with which traps us, those of us who dwell on the face of all the earth. What should Christ's people be doing? He says it, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. Are you a person of prayer? Do you anticipate the Lord's coming and pray for it? Do you pray for others who do not know Christ for salvation from their sins? Are you crying out to your Lord and your God, asking him to graciously make them ready for the day of his appearing? How alert are you? This is an analogy with limitations, but if the mice in my garage could see and be alert and have been told the traps are here and here and over there, and they believed whichever creature could tell them, then they could simply crawl around the traps and make their way straight into my basement, huddling up nice and warm this winter. But the trap stuns them because they are not alert. In effect, Jesus says, do not be like the mouse. So, from the testimony of Jesus himself within Matthew and Luke, we have learned that Jesus predicted his own return many times. That's why when you read the New Testament in order, you read Matthew and Luke before the Revelation. And therefore, you get to Revelation 1 verse 7 and read, he is coming with the clouds. And that makes total sense to you because Jesus has already told you this himself. This is what I wanted to share with you today and help you see in the Bible. And when you come back tomorrow, we'll continue to follow the outline I gave you on Monday. So tomorrow we will see that Christ's first coming was a mission of grace to take away the sins of those who accept Christ. But his second coming is a mission of judgment to condemn those who reject Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then later we'll talk about Christ's humiliation and his exaltation. So you don't want to miss our time together right here on God Is.